This is IBN, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
This is The Life of Muhammad with your host, Sheikh Anwar Al Awlaqi, Imam of Dar al Hijra Islamic Center.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقده من لساني يفقه قولي الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless this gathering. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us from what we learn. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us that which will benefit us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who will follow the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and love him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who will be with him in Jannah. First of all, we'll start with definition of seerah. What does the word seerah mean? The word seerah has a linguistic meaning, and that is a path. And walking is called sayr. When you walk from one place to another, it says sara fulan. Fulan is walking, or such as this person is walking. So it is the path that a person takes during their lifetime. That is sira. And the Hans Ver dictionary gives the translation of the word sira as conduct, comportment, demeanor, behavior, way of life, attitude, position, reaction, way of acting, and biography. All of these are meanings of the word seerah. And seerah could be the biography of any person. It's not necessarily Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, we have used the word so much with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when we say seerah, we almost all the time are referring to the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But you could also say the seerah of Abu Bakr, the seerah of Umar, the seerah of so-and-so. It is a biography of a person. Their life. So that's the meaning of the word seerah. It is the life of a person. And we're in this situation, we're studying the life of the greatest, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What's the importance of studying seerah? Number one, the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the history of Islam. You're studying a concise history of Islam by studying the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His life, in his seerah, we would find situations and incidences that would help us in everything that we would need to know in our life of da'wah. So the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is really the history of Islam. We're not just studying the biography of a person, we're studying the history of our religion. Muhammad ibn Sa'd ibn Waqqas. Sa'd ibn Waqqas is one of al-ashra al-mubashirin bil Jannah. He's one of the 10 who are given glad tidings of paradise. His son Muhammad says that our father would teach us the battles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would teach us the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he would tell us that these are the traditions of your fathers, so study them. And they used to refer to seerah as maghazi. Maghazi means the battles, because the latter part of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was spent in maghazi. So they would use this word maghazi to refer to the whole life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Ali ibn al-Husayn ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib, the grandson of Ali ibn Abi Talib, he would say that we were taught the seerah of Rasulullah ﷺ like we were taught Qur'an. That is how important seerah was for them. They would study it like they would study Qur'an. And that makes sense. Because if we want to study the life of Musa ﷺ, where do we go? Where do we study it from? From Qur'an. If we want to study the life of Isa ﷺ, we go to Qur'an. But if we want to study the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his life, even though there are bits and pieces of it mentioned in Quran, but we don't have as much details about the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Quran as we have about Musa. So the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for us to study it, we go to Sirah. All of the Anbiya, their lives were recorded in Quran, with the exception of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his life, we learn it from Sirah. So when we want to learn about the Anbiya, we go to Quran. When we want to learn about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we go to his seerah. Again, even though there are some references in Quran made to his life, we'll talk about the influence of seerah and understanding Quran. Number two, the second reason for studying seerah, it is to develop the proper love of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our hearts. Loving Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is ibadah. It's part of our religion to love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, "La yu'minu ahadukum hatta akuna ahabba ilayhi min walidihi wa waladihi wa an-nasi ajma'in." One of you does not attain true faith until you love me more than you love your parents, your children, and the whole world. We don't really become true believers until we love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than anything else. So it is part of Islam to love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Umar ibn al-Khattab was a very honest and straightforward person. He went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, "Oh Rasulullah, I love you more than everything except myself. I love you more than anyone except myself." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, "Until you love me." Meaning you don't really attain the complete faith until you love me more than your own self. So Umar ibn Khattab came back and said, "Oh Rasulullah, now I love you more than my own self." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-ana idhan," now you have attained the complete faith. The ummah today loves Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you ask any Muslim, "Do you love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" they would say yes. But the love cannot be very deep and sincere unless you know the person. If you have shallow information about someone, you can't really love them a lot. To love a person, you need to know them more. And this is especially true with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the more you know him, the more you would be impressed with his personality, the more you would love him. So even though Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, among the ummah today, with the shallow information that the masses of the Muslims have about him, even though they still love him, but we cannot truly have deep love to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam unless we know him. You know, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the more they knew him, the closer they were to him, the more they would love him. Amr ibn al-As, for example, he was one of the staunchest enemies of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was one of the top plotters against Islam. Amr ibn al-As, he later became a Muslim, and when he was passing away, Amr ibn al-As started weeping. He was crying on his deathbed. So his son, Abdullah ibn Amr, told him, "Oh my father, didn't Rasulullah ﷺ give you the glad tidings of this? Didn't he give you the glad tidings of that?" I mean, it is reported in a hadith that Rasulullah ﷺ said, "Amana Amr," that Amr ibn al-As has attained faith. So this is a witness from Rasulullah ﷺ that Amr ibn al-As is a mu'min, not only a Muslim, but he's the higher level of mu'min. So his son was trying to give his father the glad tidings that you are a true believer. I mean, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given you all of these glad tidings. How come you are crying now before your death? Amr ibn al-As, he turned around and he said, "I have went through three stages in my life. At the first stage, the most despised man to me was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And my desire was that I could get my hold of him. I could get my hands on him and kill him. That was my desire. That was my wish. my aspiration to kill Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, if I died at that time, I would have definitely been in hellfire. He said, and then Allah put the love of Islam in my heart. And I went to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I said, O Muhammad, I want to become Muslim. Extend your hand so that I can pledge allegiance to you. Amr ibn al-As says, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam extended his hand forward and I pulled my hand away. So Amr ibn al-As, he had Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam extend his hand, and when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ready to put his hand in his, Amr ibn al-As pulled his hand away. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, what's wrong? Amr ibn al-As said, I have a condition to make. Uridu an ashtarita li nafsi. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, what is your condition? He said, my condition is that you pardon me. You give me clemency. Because Amr ibn al-As knew that what he has done in the past, the great crimes that he committed against the Muslims, is sufficient for his execution. So he wanted to make sure that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not hold him accountable for what he did in the past. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled and he said, Ya Amr, أما تدري أن الإسلام يجب ما قبله وأن الهجرة تجب ما قبلها وأن الحج يجب ما قبله. Oh Amr, don't you know that Islam erases everything before it, and Hijrah erases everything before it, and Hajj erases everything before it? Amr ibn al-As said, so I became Muslim. He said, at that stage, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was my worst enemy, became the most beloved person to me in the world. He said, and I loved him so much, and I respected him so much, I couldn't even get a full glimpse of his face. Whenever I would see him, I would stare downwards. He said, I have so much love and respect for him, I couldn't even get a full glimpse of his face. And if you would ask me today to describe him to you, I couldn't. He said, and if I died during that stage, I would have hoped to be in Jannah. And then he said, and then later on came things and we don't know where we stand. Anyway, there's some other parts for the hadith. But the part that concerns us now is that Amr ibn al-As, when he got to know Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he became close to him, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was his worst enemy, became his most beloved friend. Suhail bin Amr was sent by Quraysh to negotiate with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam before Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. Suhail bin Amr was an international negotiator. He has been to the courts of the Persian Emperor, the Roman Emperor, the Emperor of Abyssinia. He's a well-connected man. And now Quraysh sent him to negotiate with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he went into Medina. And he came in, and he had first-hand experience with how the Sahaba radiallahu anhum treat Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Suhail ibn Amr went back to report to Quraysh. He told them, he said, I visited the Roman Emperor, I visited the Persian Emperor, I visited the Najashi of Abyssinia, but I have never in my life seen a leader that is so loved by his followers and so much respected by his followers like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I have seen nothing like it in the world. The Roman Emperor, the Persian Emperor, the Najashi of Abyssinia, even though they have all of the power and strength and empires, I have never seen a people love their leader so much like the Sahaba radiallahu anhum love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, I saw amazing things. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be making wudu, and the Sahaba would be rushing to grab the water dripping from his body.
Inshallah ta'ala, we'll take a break and we'll be back. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Anas, may God be pleased with him, said, the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, addressed us saying, O people, it seems as if we are exempted from death, and as if truth in this life is incumbent upon other than us, and as if those dead people whom we escort to their final resting are travelers who will return to us very soon, We lay them in their tombs and devour their inheritance as if we were immortal after them. We forget all exhortation, and we feel secure from every strife. All goodness to the person who was minding his own faults and keeping away from others' faults. All goodness to the person who spends wealth which he acquired legally and mixes with learned and wise men and mixes with the poor and the downtrodden. All goodness to the humble and the high-mannered and the good-hearted and the one who keeps his evil deeds away from people. All goodness to the person who spends his extra wealth and withholds his extra talk and is satisfied with the Sunnah, the way of the Prophet, and not attracted by heretical innovation.
Sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
Welcome back.
So he told them, do whatever you want. These are people who will never give up their leader. The Sahaba, they will never give him up. They would give their lives first. They would sacrifice everything for him. So if we want to love Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we need to learn more about him. I've already said that even though among the masses of Muslims we don't have much information about Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we don't know a lot about his seerah because it's not part of the curriculum that schools in the Muslim world teach. Nevertheless, even though we are ignorant about him and his life, he is still the most beloved figure that ever lived in humanity. His name is the most common name in the world. How many people in the world are named Muhammad? There is no other person that ever lived in history that had so many people name themselves after him like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When I was in college in the US, we had an imam. He was from Nigeria. And he was a hafiz, and he was our imam in the small college town in the US. And his name was Muhammad al-Ashir. Now the word Ashir means the tenth. So for a long time I assumed that al-Ashir is his last name. Muhammad al-Ashir. One day I went up to him and I said, what is al-Ashir? I mean, is that the name of the tribe or the clan? He said, no. He said, my father would name every male boy that he has Muhammad. All of his children, he would name them Muhammad. So to distinguish between us, he had to number us. So there was Muhammad the first, Muhammad the second, Muhammad the third, and Muhammad the tenth. I mean, his father doesn't want to deal with any other name. All of his children are going to be Muhammad. And in Pakistan and India, you'd have Muhammad Harun, Muhammad Sulaiman, Muhammad Adam, Muhammad, everybody's Muhammad. There's no one in history that had an ummah love him like the ummah loves Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's the most beloved figure in history. Now what will be the situation if we study about his life? I mean, how much love will we have then for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi? His name is the most frequently mentioned name. Around the clock, there will be a mi'dana, a minaret, that is calling to prayer and mentioning the name of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Around the clock. Because Muslims now are worldwide. So in every time zone, you have Muslims. So in every minute of the day, there will be a mi'dana that is saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. His name is mentioned around the clock. And by the way, the name Muhammad means the praised one. And there is no one who was praised like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, his name really fulfilled its meaning. He is the praised one. He is always praised. Whenever we hear his name, what do we say? Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we want to develop love of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the way we could do it is by studying his life. We will love him more the more we study about him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
قُلْ إِن كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين.
Say, if it be that your fathers, your sons, your brothers, your mates, or your kindred, the wealth that you have gained, the commerce in which you fear a decline, or the dwellings in which you delight, are dearer to you than Allah or His Messenger, or the striving in His cause, then wait until Allah brings about His decision, and Allah guides not the rebellious. So the ayah is stating that our love for Allah and His Messenger and striving in the cause of Allah should be paramount to everything else. Our fathers, our sons, our brothers, our mates, our kindred, our wealth, everything. Allah, His Messenger, and Islam should be the dearest thing to every one of us. Number three, why do we study seerah? To follow the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Hazm says, whoever seeks the preeminence of the hereafter, the wisdom of this life, the just purpose, and the embodiment of morality and character, let him follow Muhammad, the Prophet of Allah. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the embodiment of khuluq, the perfect character. And by studying his seerah, we'll be more able to follow his way. Number four, understanding Qur'an. There are some ayat in Qur'an that are independent of the circumstances of their revelation. Like for example, the ayat about al-akhirah, al-raqa'iq. These are independent of the circumstances. But then there are some ayat that were dealing with events that were happening in the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you would have some ayat revealed prior to an event, some ayat revealed concurrent with an event, and some ayat revealed after an event. Seerah would give us the explanation of these ayat. Like for example, Surah Al-Ahzab. Many ayat in Surah Al-Ahzab were revealed regarding the Battle of Al-Ahzab. Many ayat in Surah Al-Imran were relating to events that happened in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you have a major section of Surah Al-Imran was a dialogue between Muslims and Christians based on the Christian delegation that came from Najran to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These ayat were revealed to support Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his dialogue with the Christians. And then you also have the end part, the latter part of Al-Imran is dealing with Ghazwat Uhud. Now the details of the Ghazwa are not mentioned in the surah. So how can we understand these ayat? By going to seerah. Number five, his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, illustrates the methodological steps of the Islamic movement. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through stages. He went through steps. It started by a secret da'wah. And then it became public. And then later on, jihad. So it went through stages. These stages are important for Islamic movements to learn and study. Munir al-Ghardan, he says, and we believe that this methodological progression of the Prophet's life is divinely directed. For Allah has guided his Prophet in all of his steps, and it was not a result of a reaction to emerging circumstances. So these events that happened in the life of Rasulullah ﷺ were not haphazard. They were planned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that they would be a guidance for us in our attempts to establish Islam again. So it's very important that we look at the stages that Rasulullah ﷺ went through and the progression of his da'wah. Rashid Rida says, were it not for the education and training, verbal direction would not suffice. For the seerah taught them how to be guided by the Qur'an and trained them to be just and moderate in all matters. So you have Quran and Sunnah are verbal teachings. But how do we apply these verbal teachings? It is by looking into the application of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum. So they took this verbal teaching into action. And that is something that only the Muslims have. I mean the followers of all the other anbiya, they have lost trace of the seerah of their anbiya. But with us, we know how Quran was being practiced. We know how the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was being practiced and applied. You know, there's an ayah in Quran that says that you can continue eating and drinking at night time in Ramadan until the white string is distinguished from the black string. One of the Sahaba, he took this literally. What he did is he had the string under his pillow. And he would eat, and then he would uncover the string, he would pick up the pillow, he wouldn't see the string. So he would continue eating. And he would keep on doing that, and then he went to Rasulullah ﷺ and said, this is what I've done. Rasulullah ﷺ laughed and he said, it doesn't mean that you take a string in your room and you take a look at it. It means the white string, which is the first emergence of light in the horizon. That is what is meant by it. So Rasulullah ﷺ taught the Sahabi how to apply that ayah. I mean, because I could be in a dark room with no windows, all right, and I have a string with me, and it would be noontime, I still cannot see it, and I'm continuing to eat. So the application of the ayat and the ahadith of Rasulullah ﷺ are shown to us in the life of Muhammad ﷺ and the life of the Sahaba. May the blessings and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be with them all.
Inshallah ta'ala, we'll close and we'll meet you again next week. Sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alaihi wa sallam.
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.